section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
AJ Styles returns, What's Up with Daniel Bryan, and Off the Mark announces their 2013 awards. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. AJ Styles is returning to Ring of Honor on January 4th, and it's a TV taping. So, will we find out if this is legit or is TNA loaning him?
What's interesting about this is that we're going to see AJ Styles within two promotions within the span of 2 days. I mean, plain and simple. That's the really funny thing about this. And I gotta say, I'm wondering if this could be a work in a way. I know that they were saying that while he's with Ring of Honor, he cannot go on any other televised wrestling show. But I almost wonder if that's stuff that's been leaked onto the internet. And it actually kind of makes it for a very interesting dynamic for AJ Styles, TNA, and Ring of Honor. I really do wonder what's going to happen. And I actually think that this is one of the more exciting chapters of AJ's life.
Now, here's the one thing I was thinking about is that Chris Hero returned to Ring of Honor. And technically, his contract expired, if I'm correct, earlier. When did he get released? In November, if I'm correct. And usually they have like a 90-day no-compete clause. He showed up on Ring of Honor, and it was an IPPV. That seems kind of weird because it might not even been 30 days since he got released, but he showed up on Ring of Honor TV. That's what I find kind of interesting here.
The thing is, WWE's the no compete clause was strictly meant for like WCW. Let's just be honest. And I understand it wasn't implemented until after they bought WCW, but that was the whole point, you know. They implemented it because of what happened with WCW with Rick Rude and with a bunch of other people. They have characters that they create that get a lot of buzz, and then to see him show up on another show is kind of a little, you know, it's a pretty big deal when you think about it. So WWE is trying their best to stop that from happening, but Ring of Honor isn't a big deal.
I think I figured it out. He didn't use Chris Hero in WWE. I'm wondering if that has something to, okay, it doesn't? All right.
I don't think so.
He's returning to Ring of Honor. Now, here's the thing, though. It depends on – he still could do something with TNA. Maybe he just returns, but he's not shown on TV. That's the other thing. But we don't know how their deal is with TNA. We don't know if they have the non-compete clause or not. I'm assuming they do, but with AJ Styles being a big guy there, you would think they'd make him sign one. Also, something I wanted to bring up real quick. The WWE Network, we've talked about it multiple times and all these theories on it. I actually have a really interesting one. Okay, what if Netflix started doing a thing where you paid for Netflix, all right? But then let's say through Netflix you want to do like HBO, if you want to do Showtime, or if you want to do WWE. So then you'd pay on top of your Netflix fee another $9.99 or $12.99. Do you think that that's something they may do? I mean, this is all in theory. This is probably not going to do this, but I was thinking about this the other day.
Kind of like, so what you're saying is it's almost an a la carte. You have to have Netflix, but if you want these specialty stuff like HBO and whatnot, makes sense. That's something that could be interesting. However, though, you got to price it appropriately. In my opinion, if you do something like that for WWE, you'd have to charge like $4.99 because if you're going to already pay the $9 for Netflix, you got to charge a little bit less for the extras.
Right. But my point was, if you have Netflix already, you have access to that app. So how many devices already have Netflix on them?
I understand what you're saying.
Same thing with Hulu Plus. They could do it with Hulu Plus where you pay $7.99. But if you want to have access to the WWE stuff, you say, you know, but the only problem is that instead of them getting the full $9.99 a month, they would probably get more like $6.99 a month. But they would still be making more off cable than what they would do if they're with cable. But I just thought about that the other day and it just occurred to me. So I just want to give you the, your thoughts or see what your thoughts were on it. So let's talk about WWE programming for this week. So Randy Orton and John Cena is definitely going to be at Royal Rumble. What are your thoughts, dude?
Yay, again.
Is it just me, or do you just not care that Randy Orton's your champion?
I don't really. You know, he's a placeholder right now, plain and simple. And Randy Orton is kind of a... I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack for it, but he's kind of a bland wrestler. The thing I hate the most about him as a wrestler is I don't want to see him. He does the same set of moves, and realistically, look, people rag on John Cena. The biggest difference is John Cena is entertaining, and John Cena can cut a promo, and he can get a crowd behind him. He really can.
And he can cut a promo without having something scripted. And that's one thing we've seen with Randy Orton, you know, the best when you saw him live and at Raw. Randy Orton stuck with a script, and John Cena's like, give me the mic. I'm going to own this. So Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my beef with Randy Orton is that I think he's a decent wrestler. His movesets has stayed the same for so long. It's getting annoying. At least Cena would kind of mix it up here and there. Like, he'd add something different.
Yeah, but
not very little, but he was more
entertaining. I'm not going to compare them as wrestlers. All right. But Randy Orton, like, you take a look. I never want to see him wrestle. Honestly, like, I'll watch him for the pay-per-views. I never want to see him on Raw. I always fast forward through because it's always really, really garbage. It really is. I mean, that was a great sentence, by the way, just like his wrestling. It was bad. but here's the thing. I would much rather see somebody else as champion. And Randy Orton right now is holding that title for somebody else. He really is. And I think to kind of move on to our next major topic, Brock Lesnar returned and claimed he's going to be the number one contender for the WWE title. I almost wonder if Orton is holding on to the title for Brock Lesnar.
But then you have to have Brock lose the title at WrestleMania.
Which is possible. It depends on who's going to win Royal Rumble, Andy. Which I know, obviously, it's a you know, just a few weeks away. But
Batista
versus Lesnar. What do you think?
See, that's one of those things. And Batista has to lose it, or Batista has to win it if he's going to do a 6-month arc. Well, then You're just throwing the title around. The Rock had the title, and no one and I don't care. And the thing is also, which Batista are we seeing? Remember, there's two different Dave Batistas. You know, I say you have the Deacon, which I consider the face, Dave Batista.
And then the Deacon.
Remember the Deacon?
You're not going to see him from like 10 years ago. No.
Oh, we're not? Darn it.
No.
But you have face or heel Dave Batista. There was never a tweener, I don't think. Which one are we going to see? I mean, which one's going to bring more money?
It's going to be a face.
But who's going to bring more money? That's the
big
thing.
Depends on what they want to use him for. You know,
But why have him come back and do a title run? That doesn't make sense. I mean, was business up that much when he actually had the title? I believe that if Dave Batista came in for three months, he would be more over. And then if he left and then he came back like towards the end of the year. So he does 3 months now and then he comes back in like September or comes back around SummerSlam.
Well, and that's the thing. I've said this before, broken record here, but people are special attractions if they are not there for a long period of time. The Rock was a big deal, and viewership went up because guess what? The Rock wasn't on TV for 4 years, you know, or however long it was, or he wasn't on TV for a year. You know, for example, when you talk about last year, you know, Rock comes back, it's a big deal. If John Cena retired from wrestling full time. And he came back once every 6 months. It would be a big deal. And then people would tune in. Doesn't matter who the face of WWE is at the time. But when you tell somebody, guess what? You cannot see this person wrestle for, you know, this amount of time. It's a bigger deal. Same thing with Lesnar right now. Lesnar's a big deal because you can't see him all the time. So Batista, in my opinion, is a big deal because they've held him back. You know what? I hate to say it, but if you had The Miz even – like, you have a mid-card guy like The Miz who goes away for a while and then he comes back for a short period of time, he's going to be a bigger deal.
Like when Evan Bourne returns at Royal Rumble. So the one thing that Lesnar does state that he will dismantle the champ, though. That's the one thing. He's going to beat the champ. So do you give it back to Cena just so he can have that number that he's had so many titles? Or do you let Randy Orton get his butt kicked? Because
Orton owns the title.
Right, Orton owns the title, but... do you want to have Orton still win it and then have him go on face Batista? But the thing is, Don't we usually have an Elimination Chamber match for both titles?
Yeah, which...
Oh, that's the other thing. So that means...
They don't need this pay-per-view. They, honestly, like that's my biggest problem. WWE needs to cut out probably three pay-per-views for the year. This is one of them. Elimination Chamber needs to be gone because guess what's going to happen? They're going to have a change of titles at that pay-per-view. It'll be one Elimination Chamber. It'll be Randy Orton versus John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and then, you know, three random people in there. Daniel Bryan, CM Punk probably. And it's going to be for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Brock Lesnar is going to win that one. And then Brock Lesnar is going to go on to face Batista or somebody else.
If that's
the route that they go.
Nah, I believe that they'll have, you know, they have to have an Elimination Chamber match because you don't, what do you do it for, the IC title or the US title?
No.
I mean, granted, if you put the certain people in there, that match would be very entertaining, but it's, you only have one title now. Do you put the Divas title in there? No. You don't do that. You have to have it. So if Lesnar says that he's going to face someone in Elimination Chamber, he's going to have to do it from the chamber. But anyways, so Mark Henry comes out, which this was. Here's my problem. You can't tape SmackDown prior to Raw. And then you realize Big E Langston says something about what happened the day, you know, that the next day. Pretty much. He says that, you know, Lesnar comes out and beats up Mark Henry. So when Mark Henry came out, I'm just like, well, I wonder if this is going to go over good. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. He beat the crap out of him. And here's the other crappy part. If you have DirecTV or Shaw Cable, I think is the other one, you missed a majority of Raw. In fact, my DVR didn't even tape. When Triple H came out, it stopped. I missed everything.
Why?
I don't know. My DVR has done that only one other time, but that's also the same problem. They had an issue, but I tape only high definition, which now I'm going to have a backup of standard def the way it looks. Anyways, so I had to find other sources and I was able to see this segment out. But anyways, this segment was just halfway decent, but I felt bad because I already knew what Mark Henry was going to get hurt and his ribs are going to hurt and stuff, but...
And it looks like they're going to face that Royal Rumble. You know, it'll be a big guy match. So I know, you know, of course, Vince will be he'll be breaking nylon there.
I don't think this match is going to happen, Royal Rumble, dude.
I bet it will. What, you think it's going to be on free TV?
No, I don't think the match is just, it's not going to happen. I believe that what'll happen is that Mark Henry will be in the Elimination Chamber and him and Lesnar will go at it. And I bet that some way, somehow Henry does something so Lesnar doesn't win.
You know, that's possible. You know, depending on the route, I mean, we have a lot of different stuff that could happen. When we find out who the winner will be at the Royal Rumble, that's when a lot of stuff will get cleared out. You know, we knew, of course, last year, I think everybody was like, if John Cena doesn't win, it would just be strange.
Exactly.
So anyway, the other thing too, Andy, biggest news from Raw for WWE this week. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan, he takes on the Wyatts and he gets beaten up. And then he joins them?
Yeah.
So this storyline, where do you go with this?
Well, I think he's turned against it. He doesn't want to join the authority. And what else can he do? That's how I'm taking it. He's going against the authority. He had to deal with the whole Randy Orton thing. Nothing is going his way. Still nothing is going his way. So he just said, I have no fight left in me. I'll join you guys. Then he takes a sister Abigail. 15 seconds later, walks to the back. Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He's still selling it, but it's still like, oh, most people, it takes longer to get up. But that was my thought on that segment. But then are they trying to elevate the Wyatt family? Or are they trying to make the Wyatt family into a face? Is the other way to look at it.
Oh, what? No, they're not trying to
turn. They wanted them to. What better way than take your number two or three guy in the company and make him into a face?
So you are saying, wait, hold on. Are you saying Wyatt is a number two guy in the company?
No. Okay. I'm saying you have John Cena. You have either CM Punk or Daniel Bryan.
No, you have CM Punk and then Randy Orton.
No. No.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
No. Randy Orton
has always been.
Randy Orton is John a Cena, three to four guy.
John Cena.
Oh, come on.
Then it was Randy Orton. Then it was CM Punk. And I would say I would switch
CM
that
Punk
now.
Is number two. Arguably, Daniel Bryan is number two, but Daniel Bryan is at least number three. And then you have your champion at number four.
I would say Daniel Bryan's. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to what you were saying, though. So you're saying that Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatts is going to turn them face?
It can eventually evolve to it. If they did it right, if they did the proper writing and they stopped being so psychotic, if that makes sense, or more of a cult, they just ended up as normal people. I think it could be done properly.
That's their gimmick.
Their gimmick is they're weird, I think. And they're.
Oh, it's a cult thing. It's like Deliverance. Gotcha. But it's so. OK, anyways. Well, let me ask this. So, OK, so I actually have a thought in mind of how I would take this, which, of course, this won't happen because this is smart. So I'm going
to.
I'm going to do the storyline for you right now. OK, Daniel Bryan joins them and then they go and they start wreaking havoc, you know, doing whatever for the next 4 weeks, something dumb. CM Punk gets involved because he's like, we're friends, blah, blah, blah. And then he like, you know, Daniel Bryan attacks him. Royal Rumble hits. Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, you know, two of the final five people, let's say they go, they dismantle the other three. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan looks at Bray and it's they're the final two. And Daniel Bryan says, you know what? This is yours. I'm going to go ahead and step out. And he goes, okay. So Daniel Bryan goes through the second rope. He doesn't go over the top. He goes out of out of the ring. Bray Wyatt thinks that he won. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to WrestleMania. He points at the WrestleMania sign, you know. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan runs into the ring, throws him over.
Okay, now that would be cool, but
and
that's
then
been
he
done.
Does the yes, yes, yes. And then you have this gigantic friction. You produced a huge storyline then for going into WrestleMania. This is, of course, assuming it's Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton.
Two feuds.
Yeah, you produced
you have two feuds going on simultaneously. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatts, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, Randy Orton taking on John Cena and whoever else. You have then a whole like really intricate storyline going there. This makes sense. This won't happen, okay? Because I said it makes sense. I actually think this is a burial for Daniel Bryan. I think that they're going to do something really dumb, and they're going to cool his jets, and he is going to stay as a mid-carder that has a cool catchphrase.
I don't know about that, dude. What you just said would make more sense, but anyways.
No. The problem, it makes sense, so it won't happen.
Well, that's the thing, but we already have confirmed that people from WWE and TNA must listen to our show because they keep doing stuff that we're saying, so it wouldn't surprise me that, but one thing that does make sense is that you do need some hosting if you're going to make a website, so we need to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, podcaster, you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space and unlimited bandwidth with one-click script installed to their free site builder and hands out the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try your free demo to see how easy. Yes, and if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 off the mark page. You're going to see a banner for WWEShop.com. Just remember what that coupon code is. Click on that banner. And then when you check out, enter that coupon in. And you're going to save a bunch of money off your order. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. We have Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode at Genesis is announced. Interesting?
Yeah.
Happy?
And this is a cage match as well. You know, the only thing about having a cage match that I find a little suspect is that Lockdown is going to be in March. And this is the problem when you do those themed pay-per-views. It'd be like having a Hell in Cell in August, knowing that they're going to have another Hell in a Cell in October. You know, it's just kind of weird. So, you know, assuming that they're still going to have Lockdown in March, I think that's a little different. But I think this might be the culmination of these two and their feud that they have going on. I really like it, but like I said, I think it was last week, I don't want them to Randy Orton this.
So that's going to be the term from now on is you don't want to Randy Orton this?
Yes, I don't want something to overstay its welcome and have a feud go on for five straight months and have it go nowhere.
Okay, here's the other thing also that I don't understand. Wasn't Genesis an actual pay-per-view last year?
Yes, it was. This year it isn't.
It's free, which I don't get. Unless they're going to do it proper where you have Lockdown, where you have it every 3 months. Every quarter you have a pay-per-view. Because, you know, Genesis happened, I think, in January. Then you had another one in March. And then you had...
Yep.
And they were spaced out horribly. But yeah, I'm going to be excited about this match. Of course, Kurt Angle, it doesn't matter what he does. And Bobby Roode, to a certain extent, has gotten that way too. It doesn't matter what they do. It's going to be a good match. But Chris Sabin defeats Austin Aries to win back the X Division title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Aries was your champion for how long? What? 2 weeks?
Well, I think in actuality, I think he was champion for 7 days, but you know, for TV time, it was like 3 weeks. I'm okay with them throwing around the X Division championship. I am because that, you know, and I've said this in the past, your world championship, you don't just throw that around willy nilly and you don't have a change hands like 6 times in one night, like WWE has done before. However, though, the lower tier titles, and I'm going to say a TV title, European title, X Division championship, cruiserweight title, that type of thing. I'm very okay with you throwing it around and having people watch it thinking, hey, I know he just won this 2 weeks ago, but he could lose this title. There's a very good chance he could lose it. I'm okay with that. And I think that's something that that is okay to do. The only thing is, I wonder if this Austin Aries Chris Sabin feud is going to help elevate Chris Sabin more, or if it's actually going to put Austin Aries down a little bit.
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Austin Aries, he was there and then he just went down and kept going down and going down even further. And then Chris Sabin's just been back. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. He's back. He's doing his thing. Realistically, you would have to have Austin Aries try and elevate Sabin. But I think once you get to a main eventer and then you get dropped down to mid card and someone who has already been mid card, aren't you elevating the other person? So that means Aries just keeps going down. I would be surprised if Aries starts curtain jerking. I mean, that's the only way I can put it.
No. But the one thing I would say, though, is Sabin has always been a mid carder and Austin Aries worked his way up to main event status. And in my opinion, Austin Aries is a guy who can draw money. He's a guy who, if he's out here, I would pay to see on an indie show. Austin Aries, I would, because I like him that much. I think he's a talent. Now, but anyway, I don't want to belabor the point on this. I do wonder, though, where this is going to go. And I think at Genesis here in a couple of weeks, we're going to find out a little bit more with that feud. And we're also going to find a little bit more with EC3 and Sting, because they're going to take each other on at Genesis. It sounds like this is going to be, of course, EC3's first real match. And I think this will be very interesting. I actually like EC3. I'm sure I'm in the minority, but I like his character. He's the type of guy, I don't want him to ever hold the title, but he's the type of guy who's a good character for what TNA wants.
Well, it depends on. Okay. The whole match itself, this is pretty obvious. EC3 is going to win. And it's going to be Sting elevating Derek Bateman. I mean, Ethan Carter III.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The EC3 character is good because of the storyline that he's in with Dixie. As soon as the Dixie land or whatever you want to call it, her storyline ends, he's going to end.
Not necessarily.
I believe so. I think the same thing with Rockstar Spud.
For him, yeah, but he's not a talent, though.
He's not a talent, though.
No, he isn't.
He's technically.
You think that he's more of a talent wrestler than EC3?
He is a wrestler. First.
You think he's more of a talent than EC3?
EC3 is more talented.
He's more of a talent. I'm saying
in
general. And EC3 will be around. I would put a wager on this. EC3 will be around a lot longer than Rockstar Spud will, even if Dixie is not there.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. Andy, the big news, though, for TNA, AJ Styles returns, claims to be the real champion. You know, he interrupts the ceremony for Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
And this sets up AJ Styles to take on Magnus to determine the real champion. Now, this, of course, is ironic, knowing that AJ Styles has been showing up in Ring of Honor. And this doesn't spoil anything. But I think most people are like, well, I can probably guess what the outcome will be for something like this.
Exactly. And this is this is why you can't tape that many TV shows at once. You can tape 3 shows and that's fine, but you can't tape shows and have something major happen on them and then realize, oh, hey, this guy's advertised to be this Saturday on a Ring of Honor TV taping. Well, why would he be at a TV taping? Oh, he must not be with the company anymore. Not smart fans, but just casual wrestling fans, if they see that they're going to be in, I can't remember where the Ring of Honor event's at, but let's just say that they're going to be in that area. They're like, AJ Styles is coming and this is a TV taping. Well, that means he must lose to Magnus the following week. Don't know, but hey, that makes sense. Why else is he going to be on Ring of Honor TV? I'm just saying, this is something that they should have waited to do this, and I think they stretched out way too long. This should have been over and done with. This match should have taken place on Thursday. It doesn't. It takes place next week. Mistake, actually, on TNA's part, but what will be interesting is to actually see what the ratings are going to be, because it is going to be New Year's Day when the day after New Year's. It'll be interesting to see, because that's technically when ratings aren't still high. It's because people are still traveling. I'm wondering what the ratings will be for that show and then also the following show. Mm-hmm. And also the rumor is still that AJ Styles' agent has been telling people if you want him, he'll be there, but you got to get the deposit to him as well. So anyways, let's talk about our 2013 awards. We had a bunch of them from last year
now we do this, of course, every single year. Yes. We talk about, who for this year, this following year, what was the best of the best. And so, let's just go ahead and start off. Andy, newcomer of the year. Who was your newcomer of the year for 2013?
Here is my problem with newcomer of the year. What if they just came onto the scene recently? That's the thing.
Well, that's okay. Okay. I'll give you an example. I had the Shield last year as my newcomer of the year, and they won WWE's newcomer of the year this year.
Okay. So here are the people that I had for it, and I'll get one. This is one of those weird things, because I consider NXT still one of those, a newcomer. So I have down Sami Zayn, I have Paige, I have Xavier Woods, Big E Langston, and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And see, this is where it gets really weird, because for a women, I already know who won that because there's only one. But if you count NXT only, or it's Sami Zayn, but if you count WWE and NXT.
Who's your newcomer of the year? Who's your newcomer of the year?
I'm going to have to say Sami Zayn, and a close second, Big E.
Okay. My newcomer of the year, I was taking a look, and I actually, no joke, I legitimately thought long and hard about EC3, because I like the character. I like the character. I'm not saying
he's a talented wrestler. You want to say Rockstar Spud too?
I'm not saying he's a talented wrestler. I'm just saying I like the character. However, though, mine was Big E Langston, because WWE hasn't forced him down our throats. Mm-hmm. They just have a big guy who has an okay move, but he can do it and it doesn't look stupid, because I hate EC3's forward thrusting headbutt, the same one that Dean Ambrose does.
I think they call it a spike now.
It's stupid. It's so stupid. I absolutely hate it. Yeah. But Big E Langston, I think, has a really good total package to him, where he can be an upper mid carder, maybe even main event. So he's my newcomer there. Now, next one, which is best DVD, which we can, of course, change it to best video of the year. I watched a few of them. I watched three in particular that I really liked, but the one I went with was Barbed Wire City.
Oh,
why? What's yours?
That's a close set. Now we're pretty much on the same page, because Big E was my second choice, and that's why I almost say if it's main roster, I would go with Big E, but I had to go with Sami Zayn because I think he's awesome. But anyways, but for the DVD of the year though, I forgot about Barbed Wire City. So, but if I had to pick a second one, that's it. My number one is History of the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really good, but I forgot about Barbed Wire City. And see, the thing is, the Barbed Wire City was good because I don't like seeing matches. I like to see, on Russian Roulette Diaries, they had two parts to it. They had the main story, and then you had a bonus disc. I just like the fact that Barbed Wire City had those two components, so they gave you more of a story, if that makes sense.
Well, and
it was more enjoyable to watch.
The thing I liked about that, as opposed to the History of the WWE, that one was produced by WWE. You're only going to get WWE side of it. It's going to, sugarcoat it. It's going to make them look amazing. Barbed Wire City, the thing I really enjoyed was the fact that it was done, by somebody who liked ECW, and they didn't pull punches, so they Paul Heyman was vilified and praised in this show, and so were a lot of other people. So that's the reason
I don't think that's the case. I think people actually didn't like Paul Heyman. And actually, I think Paul Heyman came off bad from the DVD.
He came off bad, but there were people who said, look, the thing is, he is an amazing leader and you believed what he was saying.
That's right.
And he was
he just had no financial pockets or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember how they word it, but yeah. Anyway, so
Andy, the next one, Fallen from Grace, Wrestler of the Year, who do you got?
See, this is my problem. I have three. I have Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, and Austin Aries. But my number one guy is Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler is a very good one. I almost chose him, but I actually chose one I think has fallen maybe even a little bit harder. And that's Ryback. And Ryback is somebody who has he was at the top this year, in fact. This year he was at the top, and he has fallen so hard. And this was a guy they shoved down our throats and they thought that, oh, they're going to love him. And guess what? No, the fans rejected him. They rejected him and he cannot draw money to save his life. So he is my Fallen from Grace Wrestler of the Year.
All right. That's a good one. That's a really good one. I'll give you that. Underrated wrestler. Again, I got to go through my process. I had Kofi Kingston, Kevin Steen, Bad Influence together, and Antonio Cesaro. Ooh. See?
Ooh, who did he fall on?
Antonio Cesaro.
Same here. Same here.
Because Steen, I think, is underrated for what he does. But the fans love him. But I guess in the wrestling industry, I think he's underrated. For Ring of Honor, he's perfect. But see, Bad Influence, I think, is underrated too. But in TNA, he's not. They're not. As a tag team, not just
Daniels. No, I think that they're even underrated in TNA. I think that they're...
Really?
You know what? Yeah, I think that they're underrated as just an individual. Like, those are two guys who I would pay to see them. They to me, draw money because they are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And they can wrestle very, very well. I mean, these two guys are perfect as a tag team. And the only thing I wish is that they would actually make them a stronger tag team because they come across as being like cowards, you know, but they are hilarious and they can wrestle really well. But Andy, to go back though, you know, underrated wrestler of the year, Antonio Cesaro, I totally agree. It's very simple. He's a guy who can be a top person in the company.
He had three matches of the year done at NXT. This year in the WWE, he might have had two. That's saying something. And then the thing is, they just let him start doing the big swing just recently. And how many people find that something simple that over?
I know.
It's absolutely unreal. So the oh my God moment of the year. Still my process. I got BJ Whitmer breaks his neck. TNA is still around. And Chris Hero returns to Ring of Honor.
What is it, Andy?
BJ Whitmer breaks his neck.
I'm not very familiar with it because I, of course, got to Ring of Honor a little bit later this year. So do you want to inform us what exactly happened?
What happened was, if I'm correct, I'm going to screw this up. I think it was Davey Richards was giving him a pile driver to the outside. Yeah, I think it was to the where the apron is, where like the ropes and the apron are. So there's not a lot of room. There's about, I think, 12 inches from where the rope is and where the ring ends. When he gave him the pile driver, it was not set up properly. So what happened was Whitmer's head hit the canvas full force, breaks his neck. Once that news got out, it was scary and you could hear it from a cell phone camera. That's how loud it was. It was that disturbing. And everyone was like, oh, to me, that was my, oh my God, moment of the year.
So, mine is actually Bully Ray turning heel. I know people might be like, why was that an OMG moment? They started off the year with him being a face, trying to win Hogan's, you know, like favor. He, you know, started dating Brooke Hogan, you know, of course, kayfabe. And then, you know, he gets injured and which I believe also was kayfabe. And then he goes, you know what? Like he earns the right to face Jeff Hardy at Lockdown. And then in the match, the Aces and Eights come out and it turns out he's actually the leader. And you're like, what? Like it was actually a really big turn. And I was shocked by it. And when you have those moments that actually shock you, it's like, wow, that's actually a pretty big deal. So that is mine. Now, Andy, the next one.
I want to clarify something. It was actually by Michael Bennett. My bad.
OK, so, Andy, the next one is which is the biggest disappointment of the year. And mine is also going to TNA and it is for their handling of contracted wrestlers. And what I mean by that is the way that they let people go or the fact that they did not actually sign people when they found out that they were weren't under contract. I don't even know if the Robert Roode thing happened this year. It might have been the year before.
But no, it was this year.
The fact that he – this is one of your top guys, top five, you know, in TNA. And you're like, oh, wait, he's not under contract? Oh, maybe I should make a calendar alert and remind myself that guess what? Robert Roode's contract is coming to an end and we haven't contracted him. Or the fact that they let AJ Styles go, or they let all of these other people go who were talents. And it's like, are you stupid? Like, the way that they're handling the contracted situation, in my opinion, is the biggest disappointment of the year.
See, here's – I got it down to two people or two things, because I know you – because I took it still – whenever we talk about this, I took it as the people. – So the TNA thing I agree with, but I had it down to two people and I have to explain each one real quick. The primetime players, Darren Young comes out gay. They're over. They're still over. And then they stop. They stop. Curtis Axel. Who cares? That's my point. Biggest disappointment is Curtis Axel, because he was pushed down our throats. He was the IC title holder. He lost the IC title to Big E. No. Yeah, to Big E. Mm-hmm. And no one cared. Who's Curtis Axel now? He's with Paul Heyman. He's a Paul Heyman guy. No one cares.
So yours is
Curtis Axel. Has to be. There's no way you can get around it. Because they pushed him so far. I think a missed opportunity was the primetime players thing, but Curtis Axel to me was just disappointed. He should be better than perfect, and he's not.
Well, and my runner up for this one was Ryback, but I didn't want to do it twice. So, wrestling industry news of the year, mine was the WWE Network to be Netflix like. So the fact that, you know, I went on record last year saying the WWE Network was stupid and it would fail because who's gonna turn on their TV to watch this stuff? However, though, having it be on demand in this way with a Netflix like app, if this is the route they go, in my opinion, will actually revolutionize the wrestling industry. And I know that's people might be like, what? I honestly believe that if you do that, you are going to revolutionize the wrestling industry for things that you can do because of that.
And actually, mine was similar. I actually wanted to talk about their skipping the regular like satellite or cable TVs. That was one of them I wasn't sure of. But my biggest, I would say, industry news is that TNA, they're returning to Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. I think it's big because they're on the road, failure, and they tucked their tail between their legs and went home. That's the best way to put it.
No, I disagree. I don't think it's tucking their tail between their legs. I think they had to go on the road. They had to go on the road. In my opinion, it was smart.
In the long run,
the
did it help them, though?
It might. They probably got more fans from it.
And then
it doesn't matter if the ratings are low.
But if the same people are still watching the show regardless.
Doesn't matter if the ratings are low because only so many people have the boxes. That's the thing. Andy, the next one, worst feud of the year.
I'm going to let you start on this one. I got a funny one.
Oh, mine is Alberto Del Rio.
Damn it.
Versus anyone.
Damn it. That's what I have. I had Del Rio versus all.
Yeah, Alberto Del Rio versus anyone. Worst feud of the year. Anything Del Rio was a part of, it was the worst.
And honestly, I had Orton versus Brian because I was so frustrated with it at one point. And I was like, no, it's Del Rio. It didn't matter who he faced. It was just bad. But yeah, so we agree on that one. So
feud of the year, I have Daniel Bryan versus The Authority.
Ooh. See, here's my process. The Shield versus all, AJ Styles versus Dixie, or CM Punk versus Paul Heyman. And when it comes down to it, I have to go with AJ Styles versus Dixie.
Really? I'm very surprised by that.
Even though it's only short, I do like it, but it's also, it reminds me of the CM Punk storyline, but it's almost in a way the way that it could have gone on longer, if that makes sense. Because this has gone long, I believe. I think this has been it's been progressing for a long time, and I think they could have done it with CM Punk, but CM Punk, I think it was 2 weeks later when he won the title, he was back. If they would have waited, you know, TV time, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, then I wouldn't even put this in consideration. I would just put the Shield versus all. But that's just my opinion for feud of the year. So who is your wrestler of the year, Aaron?
This is really tough for me.
Okay.
This was really, really tough for me. And, you know, I got to say, first things first, it's not Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was the one that I said, he's my wrestler of the year. And he had a great year. But you have to look at the year as a whole. And he had really great things happen to him. But then at the very end, I really feel that like the last 2 months, they screwed him over, in my opinion. So my wrestler of the year is AJ Styles.
Boo. AJ Styles has also been, he's been gone for a while.
You know what I mean? But the storyline that they had with him, in my opinion, wrestler of the year.
I don't agree with you. I will say that if you count the first 10 months, Daniel Bryan is wrestler of the year. The last 2 months, that's a interesting topic. We'll just leave it at that. Daniel Bryan is still my wrestler of the year.
I figured as much. You know, with everything he did, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, so that's our 2013 awards. I'm looking forward to next year's, actually, for the 2014 awards that we give out, because there's going to be a lot of up-and-comers that are coming through. Who knows what's going to happen with AJ Styles? I mean, there's so many things. The WWE Network, it could flop. I mean, we could be making fun of it the entire time, or we're going to be talking about, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then sliced bread number two comes out, so... Anyways, wrestling reference. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.